the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider on this Valentine Day weekend, halfway through this 28-day month, the shortest of the year. Now, the news in a minute, but first let me tell you about the interview segment. I feature two amazing men, Craig Joring and Danny Ledger, who are truly doing the Lord's work of caring for the least of our brethren, doing so through Hope of the Poor, an amazing organization they co-founded in Nebraska with headquarters in Mexico City and Omaha. The motto is alleviating the poverty of being unloved, and you'll hear them tell absolutely riveting tales of the poorest of the poor, whom they try to help in many ways, especially by giving them a sense of their worth and dignity. Now the top news stories in the Vatican. Sunday, February the 8th. Before reciting the Angelus, Pope Leo XIV greeted the director, staff, and family members of the Vatican's Floreria e Uffici Edilizio, florist and building services, and he invited them to join him in thinking about everyone who comes to the places they care for and to pray for them. Leo urged them to remember that faith and prayer give full meaning to everything we do. The Floreria is a specialized logistical office of the Holy See, responsible for organizing, decorating, and furnishing venues for papal ceremonies, audiences, and events in St. Peter's Basilica, St. Peter's Square, and the Apostolic Palace. At the Angelus Sunday, Pope Leo reflected on Jesus' words after the Beatitudes, and he highlighted how encountering Jesus brings true joy, flavor, and light into our daily life. And even when we feel downcast, God the Father cares for our names and our uniqueness. He also expressed sorrow and concern over the latest wave of deadly attacks in Nigeria, which have claimed dozens of lives. And he expressed his hope that authorities will continue to work with determination to ensure the safety and protection of the life of every citizen. Monday, February 9. In a letter to the priest of the Archdiocese of Madrid on the occasion of a presbyteral assembly, Pope Leo invited priests to not be daunted by challenges and secularism, but rather to realize that their prayerfulness and closeness to Christ can help others recognize that the Lord will help them fill their heart's greatest desires. In order to be priests the Church needs today, I leave you with the same counsel of your holy compatriot, St. John of Avila. Be entirely His. Be wholly His. Be holy. Also Monday, the Vatican announced that Pope Leo has arranged for the delivery of 80 electricity generators along with medicine and food supplies to Ukraine. Trucks filled with these goods departed from Rome's Santa Sofia Basilica, the Church of Ukrainians in Italy. They arrived at their destinations in Fastivin, Kyiv, areas particularly affected by recent attacks by Russian drones. Medicines included antibiotics, anti-inflammatories, supplements, and melatonin, which is especially in demand as it helps people sleep amid ongoing fear and constant stress. Also Monday, the Pope went in the afternoon to Castel Gandolfo for an overnight stay, returning to Rome Tuesday evening. Wednesday, February 11. The Holy Father continued his General Audience Catechesis series on the documents of the Second Vatican Council, focusing again on the 1965 Dogmatic Constitution Dei Verbum on Divine Revelation. He reflected Wednesday on the profound and vital link between the Word of God and the Church. Leo XIV explained that the Second Vatican Council reminds everyone that the Church has always venerated the divine scriptures just as she venerates the body of the Lord, and it never ceases to reflect on the value of the Word of God. Christ is the living Word of the Father, the Word of God made man. All the scriptures proclaim His person and His saving presence for each one of us and for all of humanity. Sacred Scripture's rightful home, said the Pope, is therefore the Church, because under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Bible arose from the people of God and is destined for the people of God. Wednesday was also the feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, and it marked the World Day of the Sick. To mark the occasion, as Pope Leo arrived in the Paul VI Hall, he lit a candle before the statue of the Blessed Virgin of Lourdes. He also expressed that he would go that day to the Grotto of Lourdes in the Vatican Gardens to light a candle, quote, as a sign of my prayer for all the sick, whom today on the World Day of the Sick, we remember with particular affection. Then in Spanish, Pope Leo recalled that this year, the World Day was being celebrated at a place particularly dear to him, the Shrine of Our Lady of Peace in Chiclayo, Peru. I unite myself spiritually to everyone there. Thursday, February 12th, Vatican Radio turned 95, and Vatican News interviewed Princess Elettra Marconi, whose father Guglielmo Marconi invented Vatican Radio and inaugurated it on February 12, 1931, at the invitation of Pope Pius XI. Also Thursday, at a meeting in the Vatican between Cardinal Victor Fernandez, Prefect of the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, and Father Davide Pagliarani, Superior General of the Society of St. Pius X, SSPX, the Holy See proposed a path of theological dialogue aimed at safeguarding the, quote, minimum requirements for full communion with the Catholic Church. But this, provided that the Society suspends the episcopal ordinations it announced in early February that would take place July 1st. The Society of St. Pius X is a traditionalist Catholic priestly fraternity founded in 1970 by Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre in response to the reforms of Vatican Council II. Dedicated to preserving the traditional Latin Mass and pre-Vatican II teachings, the SSPX operates in a state of, quote, canonical irregularity, as it is not in full communion with the Pope, though its priests have received papal permission for specific ministries like confessions. Following the 1988 illicit consecration of bishops by Lefebvre without papal approval, the group entered a state of schism, resulting in automatic excommunications, although Benedict XVI lifted the excommunications of the bishops in 2009. Regarding the announced ordinations by SSPX, the Holy See reiterated that the ordination of bishops without a mandate from the Roman Pontiff would entail, quote, a decisive rupture of ecclesial communion, end quote, namely a, quote, schism, with grave consequences for the society as a whole. Vatican News reported that the Superior General of the SSPX will present the proposal to his council and provide a response to the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith. Should the response be positive, the next steps and procedures will be determined and established by, quote, mutual agreement. Friday, February 13. In a message for Lent 2026, Pope Leo XIV invited Catholics to be open to listening, fasting, and community, and to abstain from words of hatred in order to make space for words of hope and peace. Quote, I would like to invite you to a very practical and frequently unappreciated form of abstinence, and that is refraining from words that offend and hurt our neighbor. Sacred Scripture helps us to recognize and respond to the call of those who are anguished and suffering. Christians, said the Pope, can cultivate inner openness to listening as God does, by growing in awareness that the poor challenge our lives and economic systems as well as the Church. Also Friday, Pope Leo XIV appointed Sister Nina Benedicta Krapik of the Sisters of Charity of St. Vincent de Paul as Deputy Director of the Holy See Press Office, replacing Christiane Murray, who was stepping down from the position she has held since July 2019. The Croatian religious sister, until now an official of the Dicastery for Communication, has worked as a journalist and as a legal advisor for women victims of domestic violence and other marginalized individuals. She also served as head of communications for Caritas of the Archdiocese of Rijeka. As you just heard, lots of news this week, but now, stay right here to learn about Hope for the Poor, an amazing organization founded in Nebraska with headquarters in Mexico City in Omaha, whose motto is alleviating the poverty of being unloved.
This is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. I know for a fact that we have brothers and sisters who are not Catholic, who are not even believers in Jesus, who listen to Catholic radio because they're looking for something that's going to edify their souls. They're searching for truth, and they're not finding it in sports radio or political talk radio. They're finding it with Catholic radio.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio now more than ever.
Mother Angelica had a simple goal when she began EWTN, to reach the world with a gospel message. EWTN is everywhere on social media platforms including Audible, iHeart, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and X. We've never wavered from our mandate to proclaim the truth and majesty of the Catholic faith. Thank you for joining EWTN in this mission.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Well, I want to welcome my listeners to another wonderful edition of Vatican Insider. And I say wonderful because I have two very special people here with me today. And I want to introduce you through these people to Hope of the Poor. Now, this is an amazing organization founded in America with headquarters in Mexico City and Omaha, Nebraska, whose motto is alleviating the poverty of being unloved. And if that doesn't get to you, nothing will. Now, my guests are the founders of Hope of the Poor, Craig Joring and Danny Ledger. So welcome to both of you to Vatican Insider. Danny, for the first time, welcome.
Thank you so much, Joan.
And Craig, welcome back.
Thank you, Joan. It's great to be here.
I did speak to Craig last year during a Rome visit, and we had our first look at Hope of the Poor. Danny wasn't in town at the time, but both are in Rome this week, so a special extra welcome to Danny. Now, first of all, I want each of you to talk to my listeners a little bit about yourself, where you're from, etc., and then eventually we will get into, wow, how did you start Hope of the Poor? So, Craig, yourself.
I grew up in Nebraska. And I've been a missionary since college, and for the past 18 years, I've served in Mexico City. I work with the poorest of the poor. I work at the city dump. I work with homeless families. I work with street kids. I help them leave drugs, wow, and to leave the street and to come into a place where they can work and be productive and step into a life without drugs and homelessness.
Oh, of course. Now, obviously, Mexico City requires a second language. Now, did you learn it when you went down there, or had you studied Spanish before?
I grew up without thinking that I would ever live internationally, and so I didn't study any languages growing up. I learned Spanish when I moved to Mexico City.
Okay, well, good for you. And Danny, tell us a little about yourself.
I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska, and I have always kind of lived in the Nebraska area and have loved Omaha my whole life. After my wife and I got married in 2009, we moved to a small town in Nebraska to do youth ministry, and I'm a worship leader, so I was doing music, youth ministry, and working in the schools, and just loved it. In my time doing that, I met Craig, and we started dreaming about what it would be like to evangelize together and to work with the poor and to bring people into a deeper encounter with Christ.
So faith at the basis of everything that you're telling me. But I did remember Craig telling me last year that you were a great musician. Tell us a little bit about that, how you use it.
Well, I've always done music, and you know, I got a little distracted by the music of the secular world, but towards the end of high school, I started really having deep encounters with Jesus in the sacraments, and I really had a conversion and wanted to use my music to bring people closer to God. And so I started writing songs and prayers and things to help people in that. And so I I've always been kind of a Catholic recording artist and worship leader, and love using music as a tool to bring people closer to God.
Well, it definitely is a ministry of its own, for sure. Craig, tell us specifically, or a little more about it, because we just heard from Danny, about how you met, the two of you, in Omaha.
We met through mutual friends. And at that point, I was in a place where I wanted to do more. And Danny had this amazing music ministry. I had this ministry of working with street kids. We combined our ministries into what we call
wow.
Hope of the Poor. Now, the fun thing is not only do we work in our separate mission fields, we come together and we speak in churches, we speak in schools, and in as many places as we have time for when I'm back in the U.S. And then, of course, Danny speaks in churches and schools more than, a lot more than that.
Now, how much of the time of the year, I mean, Danny, are you in Mexico?
I just go down strategically as often as I can, and sometimes that's, you know, a few weeks, or
yeah.
I mean, it could be, it's just different every year, and I love to be down there as much as I can. But when I'm not down there, I am working on development for our organization. But mostly, I spend my time with the homeless in downtown Omaha, just hanging out with them, learning their names and their stories, and drinking a lot of coffee.
Yeah. As opposed to wine in Italy. Working with the homeless, that's a word that every person listening to this show and millions of others know because of what's happening in our country. I mean, it seems like you can't watch a half hour or hour long news program without hearing about the homeless. In many, many cases, the numbers have been going up because of migrants coming across the border, whether they are being paid to or whether they simply want a better life in America. But once they cross the border, nothing is necessarily guaranteed, starting obviously with housing. So it's a huge issue. It is a problem here. And if you walk around the Vatican, especially at night, you will see the homeless under the right and left-hand colonnades. They've got their little tents or blankets or whatever they have to keep them warm or help when there's rain. And you will see them on Via della Conciliazione under the archways of some of the Vatican buildings. And obviously we're talking about the Vatican's emphasis on the homeless simply because Pope Francis, from the first day of his papacy, has been promoting help for the helpless and the homeless. And those that we see sleeping in or near outside of St. Peter's Square, the colonnades, the adjacent street and so forth, they're there during the night. And then in the morning when stores and other things open, they are gone. I honestly don't know where they go. But by the way, one of the big emphasis of the Vatican, we know there's kind of your minister of charity, Cardinal Krajewski, obviously Polish cardinal, and his entire life is dedicated to the poor. The cardinal goes out during the week, I don't know how many nights when he's in Rome. He goes out with a couple of Swiss guards, just dressed in, you know, streetwear. I mean, he's dressed as a priest, not as a cardinal, of course. They know where all the homeless are. They know what they need. Years ago, when we had like 6 weeks of rain, he went to the Vatican Museums. What a brilliant idea. He went to the Vatican Museums and he said, "Do people ever leave umbrellas here and never come back for them?" The Vatican had 400 umbrellas, which the Swiss guards and Cardinal Krajewski got and gave to the homeless. So there's many ways you can do things like that, you know. Craig, with your previous visit and our brief conversation yesterday in St. Patrick's Church, it sounds like, you know, so much of what you're doing is trying to give each of the individuals that you deal with back their human dignity. Dignity seems to be a word that a lot of people don't understand.
That's right, Joan. We really believe the poor are a gift to help lead us to Christ. And I think one of the most important things that we can do is to honor the poor, treat them as human beings, and love and accept them. That's what Danny and I try to model, and we try to teach people how to do. How to see the poor as not a problem to be solved, but as a gift to lead us to Christ.
And as you said yesterday and earlier before we started recording, to try and see the face of Christ in their face. And I guess, you know, we all have to be sincere. It's probably easier to see Christ in the face of someone that we know and love or are related to, or they run a store 50 feet from our home or a restaurant or something like that. We can see Christ in what's familiar, but what is very different, we might have a problem with. And I think sometimes if we just said to ourselves, there but for the grace of God go I, why are these people poor? Why don't they have homes? Did they never ever have money? Did they have a home and lose it? I mean, there's so many questions that we have to ask. So Danny, this must be heartbreaking and rewarding at the same time to do this kind of work. Heartbreaking in that you have to do it, and yet also rewarding when you see differences, when you see something, you've affected a life.
It's always a beautiful gift to work with the poor, but it's also a challenge. And when you work with the same people like I do with my ministry or Craig does in Mexico, we work with people that are drug addicted, that are destitute, and that it's hard to see that poverty as a gift. But there is a gift in that person especially, because that person is a child of God, and they all have their different situations that they've been through, different struggles. There is a reason they're on the street, and it might be safer than wherever they came from or whatever. There's so many different...
I never thought of that. It could be safer than where they came
from.
Well, we see
that a lot. They'll leave home because of abuse or something that happened there, and so they feel safer on the street. And so in these situations, we really don't look at their homelessness as a problem that we're going to just solve through some government program or even through our nonprofit. What we do is we try to surround that person with love and acceptance, get them to a safe place, give them unconditional love, and then we can give them accountability and resources to help them get into a new life. But you got to start with just getting them to a safe place.
Sure. But now, Craig, I never thought of it till this instant, but do you ever have any of these people say to you, why are you doing this? Why are you helping me? What's your answer when they ask?
I tell people that they matter, that their life is important. You mean so much. Jesus died for you. I care for you. I believe that the difference between a person being in a place where they can grow and change and not is having one person to believe in them. I want to be that one person who believes in them, and then this grace can flow through to them.
Oh, absolutely. And I think they feel it. When you're with them, it's not like you're with them on Monday, you talk to them, you make them feel good, and they never see you again. Because then they're going to be right back to square one where they started. Nobody really cares for me. So there must be huge changes made in lives. I would love each of you to tell me one of your favorite stories, your favorite interaction with somebody who ended up actually managing a business or something.
Right now I have a lady working with Hope of the Poor. She works for Hope of the Poor full time. She spends her days reaching out to the homeless around the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City, which is where I work. I reached out to her and her husband for 5 years and their infant son while they were homeless and drug addicted in front of the Basilica. And for 5 years, I surrounded them with love and acceptance and kept believing in them, kept telling them that their lives mattered, God had a plan for them, and finally they believed it. And so 3 years ago, they moved off the street.
Wow.
And now they're off drugs, and now they spend their days helping other people who are in the same situation they were in to leave the street and to leave drugs.
Wow. Well, and now, Danny, you're not there as much of the year. You just told us, you know, as Craig is. But Do you have a special story, either from Omaha or from Mexico City, that you'd like to share?
Well, I'll share one from Omaha, just because Craig shared one of our favorite stories from Mexico. But just this last year, right before Christmas, we had to take a family off the street in Omaha. And they were on the list for maybe getting housing through some of the government programs, but they weren't going to get it in time because the situation that they were in is they had a baby born prematurely.
Oh.
They were living in their van, and they didn't want to be in the shelter because they couldn't stay together, and they had no other housing options because of just different terrible circumstances that had happened to them. And so they were in this situation where they have this baby, it's in the NICU, and they cannot get their baby, to take their baby home from the hospital when it would be ready to come home unless they had an apartment.
Of course.
And so Hope of the Poor raised the money, rented them an apartment, and got them in just right before Christmas, got them into their own place, got it furnished for them, and then it was a month later, they got to bring home their little baby to their own apartment. And then in the meantime, we're working with this couple to help them get other resources,
sure,
help the husband find a job, and working with us and with other organizations. And it's been a struggle, but it's been beautiful to just see, like, they had no hope, and now they do.
I just wish for a moment that this was television instead of radio so that my listeners could actually see your faces and the joy, the obvious joy, as you tell these stories. Well, that's all the time I have today with Craig Joring and Danny Ledger, co-founders of Hope of the Poor. But absolutely tune in next week to Vatican Insider for more riveting stories about their work with the poorest of the poor in Mexico and in Nebraska and the U.S., changing lives, giving hope for a new future to so many people.
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.